Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Dogman Radio. I'm Scott Eklund, and I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. I hadn't planned on doing a second one of these so soon, but with all that went on yesterday, I just felt like it was a good opportunity to update you guys on some things without writing out too much for you on the message boards. As I noted in yesterday's episode, this is not going to replace what I do for Monday morning recruiting blogs. So you'll see that on tomorrow that I'll have one up. But it will help keep you guys just in the loop on what's been going on, and maybe you can just hear some of my thoughts on the commitment of the two guys that announced their commitments yesterday and what could be happening here over the next few days. First of all, Washington got a commitment from a JUCO defensive lineman by the name of Bryce Butler. He was committed to Arizona. He went to St. Thomas More Prep School in Connecticut, and he just was not very heavily recruited. That's a school that does have some prospects come out of it. They do play IMG. They do play St. Francis. They do play some other prep schools in the area, or in the United States. And he just got overlooked in his recruitment. 6'4", 296 pounds, went to Garden City, which is one of the better JUCO programs in the country, especially out there in the Midwest in Kansas. And I did a full write-up on him that I will have posted probably before you guys even listen to this on Sunday morning. But he basically told me, he goes, I had other opportunities to go to other schools, but Coach Kafusi and I, that's Washington's defensive line coach, Coach Kafusi and I had already formed a really strong relationship. SMU, Oregon State, Minnesota, they all came in after he reopened his recruitment, got out of his NLI to Arizona, showed up, and then the coaches left, and kind of like what happened with some of Washington's recruits. And he just decided, hey, you know, I want to get out of this. I want to just kind of see what my options are. Arizona was an option to return. He did say that he had heard good things about the staff that Brent Brennan was putting together, and holds no ill will toward them, but just was like, you know, I'm only going to be in school for a year or two more, and why not go with the coaching staff that I already had a strong relationship with and a strong bond with and everything like that. And he just felt that his bond with Coach Kafusi and Coach Fish and the resources at the University of Washington were just the best fit for him. He said, there's just nothing else comparable to what Washington has to offer me. And so that's why he decided to become a Husky. He's headed home to Toronto, Canada. That's where he's originally from. The reason he went to prep school in Connecticut was because he wasn't getting really looked at in high school. So he went to a prep school, but he's headed back to Toronto. He's going to spend maybe a week or two with his family and then come back here, and he'll be enrolled in time for the start of spring football, spring quarter and spring football. And he's really looking forward to it. He told me that Washington likes him as a three tech, that he could play three tech. He could do some nose tackle stuff too, but that his forte is really getting in the backfield and causing problems both as a run stopper and as a pass rusher. So he'll probably combine with whoever, you know, they rotate through, that Jacob Bandis, Armon Parker, Javon Parker, Sebastian Valdez. We haven't even gotten a look at him. He's the Montana State defensive line transfer that came in and has thrown his name in the boat. There's also Alinius Davis who will be there. Anthony James was moved inside from playing defensive end, edge for Washington. And so he'll be in the mix as well. Voight Tanufi will get some reps in there as well. So Washington's got a nice little group. I don't want to say nice little, these are some big men, but, they got a nice rotation bodies that they can throw through there that have different skill sets. And so are they productive? We don't know yet. You know, Jacob Bandis has been the most productive of that group, and even he hasn't really lived up to the four-star status that he had coming out of high school. So I hesitate to say this is a great group, but I do like the makeup of the group. How about that? I think the potential for this group is pretty good, whereas – you know, maybe 3 weeks ago, we didn't know what the heck this was going to look like with Tuli Latulianasanoa graduating, with MJ Ale graduating, and Washington just, and Fatui Tuatele retiring. And those are the top three guys on Washington's roster at the defensive tackle position. So not a good situation, but to get Bryce Butler to come in and be a part of this, now you've got a nice rotation, at least from a numbers standpoint, of Jacob Bandis, you've got Butler, you've got Sebastian Valdez, like I noted, Armon and Javon Parker. Neither has made huge impact, but both have a lot of potential. Alinius Davis is also there. So that's like six guys. Then you've got Voight Tanufi. You've got Anthony James, who I've heard is looking really good in the offseason workouts right now. He's still got a lot to learn. I'd say you need to give him another year before you really see much from him, since he's playing with his hand in the ground and more of an interior guy. From everything I hear, he's doing well. So you've got a rotation of five, six, seven guys that you can put in there. And this spring, it's going to be all about getting those young guys reps. Armon Parker needs reps. Alinius Davis needs reps. Anthony James needs reps. These guys need reps in practice. You got 15 practices in the spring. You've got workouts in the summer. And then you've got, 20 or so practices in August to get them ready for the season. So we'll have to wait and see. But Bryce Butler, huge pickup for Washington. They're going to help them immediately on the field in 2024. One that we won't see hit the field probably until 2026 at the earliest, but he's a big get. Was a 2025 offensive lineman out of J. Sarah Catholic, and we'll get to why that name should be familiar to you guys. But Jacob Flores, he's an offensive lineman, 6'6", 278 pounds. He's projected by 247 to play as an interior player, which he could definitely do. I could also see him as a right tackle. But he's got a lot of length and he's got a lot of size and he can play. He's got very, very light feet, at least from the video that I watched of him, his highlights and everything like that. Looks like a really talented player that Washington was able to get in. Now, one thing is, I talked to Greg Biggins, and after he announced his commitment, I said, "Did you even know this was coming?" And Greg said, "No." He had given me a list of five or six schools that he was planning to visit. And guess what, folks? Washington wasn't even one of those schools. So it sounds like Brennan Carroll and Jed Fish and a lot of the other coaches that were recruiting him worked some serious magic to get him to come up to the University of Washington and visit this weekend. You know what? I don't even know if he visited yet. I've chatted with him via text. I haven't asked him if he visited. It sounds like he probably did, but we'll have to wait and see on that. But I'm supposed to talk to him later today and get a full write-up for you guys. So I'll have that as soon as I chat with him and get that out to you guys. But that's a huge get because he's so versatile. You can play him almost anywhere along the offensive line. He's smart, so he could play center, although you don't have a lot of 6'6 centers. But it's not like it hasn't happened before. Mateo Mele was 6'5 and a half, 6'6. Luke Wattenberg was in the 6'5 range. So it's not unheard of to have a center that's on the taller side. But yeah, that's a big get. And he adds his name to Washington's 2025 commit list, joining Dash Byerly as the only other commit. But that's a nice solid start to your offensive line class, which I think is probably going to be four or five in that class. And then Dash Byerly, probably the only quarterback they take in the class, but I guess you never say never, especially I don't know the staff well enough yet to know how they're going to do things. But that's a nice little start to your 2025 class. Expect there to be 20 to 25 guys in the class. And Washington, I think, has a chance to have a really, really good class. From everything I'm hearing, some of the buzz that's going on, there's a lot of people that think that Washington could have a top 15, top 10 class. It obviously, a lot of things are going to be happening over that time. NIL comes into play, all that different stuff. But right now, I like where Washington stands with a lot of these top guys. So that's wrapping up those, two commitments from the weekend. Huge pickups for Washington, and you're going to see several more here over the next few days. I believe that Pocky Finau is probably going to be pulling his name out of the portal here pretty soon. He's an offensive lineman out of Oak Hills down in Southern California. He's a really talented kid, can do a lot of different things for you, play guard, play tackle, depending on what you need him to do. Like Jake Flores, he's not a guy who's going to impact the lineup that much. As we get into 2024 and 2025, it's going to be more that 2025, 2026 seasons when he'll be able to see the field. He'll redshirt, he'll lift, he'll work on his technique and all those different things. But he was a big time get for Washington even before Coach Kalen DeBoer left, and to keep him in the fold, I think, is going to be huge. So I expect that we're going to hear something from him very soon, that he's going to be pledging back to stay at the University of Washington. He's already in classes there at the University of Washington. So one way or the other, he was going to be here at least through March, since he had already started classes. And I think he feels really comfortable with the coaching staff. He and I have texted a few times. He really seems to like the new staff, but he also wanted to keep his options open. And I don't think anybody could blame him for doing that. So there's also a 2024 commit to Arizona that reopened his recruitment. He's a wide receiver out of Bishop Gorman, and that's Audric Harris. He's a 6'1", 6', whatever he is, 180-pound wide receiver. Same high school as Romo Dunze, and can do a lot of different things for you on the football field. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Romo Dunze, but he has a potential to be someone like Jermaine Kearse. That's who I've kind of projected him as. Some people have said Jalen Polk. I don't think that's a bad comparison either, but he glides. He kind of is that long strider when he runs, and that reminds me so much of Jermaine Kearse and the way he was able to do things. So if Washington can get him in the fold too, that would be huge. I think you're going to see another running back commit here in the next couple days. I feel really strongly that Washington did a lot to get Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. He's a portal running back from New Mexico. He went home and he's talked over things with his family, and he said he'll have a decision here in the next few days. I feel really good about where Washington stands for him. So that's a couple more names. I think you'll see even some more names pop up as well. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, I'm going to get to the Junior Day event that happened today. There are a lot more guys than I initially had been able to confirm that showed up, and there's some interesting prospects that we'll go through real quick when we come right back. Thanks for staying tuned.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And welcome back, everyone. This is Scott Eklund for Dogman.com. I'm flying solo again. Hadn't planned on doing this 2 days in a row, but felt like there enough happened over the weekend or just on Saturday alone that would allow me to come on and talk to you guys a little bit more about recruiting. But, let's get into the junior day. Washington had scheduled a junior day back when the old coaching staff was here. They had been, getting guys to commit to come and take visits. They had helped their parents schedule flights and all those different things and got it all set up. And then when the coaching staff changed, most of those players canceled. They ended up going to a 7-on-7 pylon tournament down in Las Vegas. They also went down to Oregon's junior day. Several local kids did that. Some went to other junior days that are going on at other schools. So Washington lost out on getting a lot of those guys up for visits, but most of them have told me that they're planning to come up at another time, maybe in March, maybe in April, to check out a spring practice and things like that. So you're going to see a lot of activity in March and in April when things open back up. Today is the quiet period when players can be on campus but leave. And then starting on Monday, it's a dead period all the way through March 2nd, I believe. Whatever that Sunday is, that first Sunday of March, that's a dead period when recruits can't be on campus, coaches can't be on the road watching kids, but they can talk on the phone. They can communicate. They can do Zoom calls. They can do all those kind of things. They just can't meet in person anywhere. So, but starting in March, you can do that again. And so that's when you'll see visits start to pick up again. But let's talk about some of the guys who made it to Washington's junior day. I said that most of the in-state guys were going to end up heading either down to Oregon or going to the 7-on-7 event or just not come up, because Washington typically on these junior days, Washington typically likes to get the out-of-state kids in-house and spend a little more time with them and then have the in-state guys come in during the week. Someone from Bellevue can just drive 30 minutes, 15, 20 minutes across the bridge and come over with his family and visit with the coaches and things like that, and then go right back home. And so you can kind of fit those in on the weekdays. So usually they held these out for out-of-state guys, but Washington still did get a decent group of in-state guys to come. All of them were from, that I'm aware of, were from Bellevue. Ryken Moon, Warren Moon's son, an athlete from the 2025 recruiting class in Bellevue. Let's see here. Who else? Bryce Smith, a safety prospect from Bellevue. Willie Washer, an offensive lineman from Bellevue who already has offers from like USC and Miami and a few other schools. I'm not saying Washington's on the verge of offering him, but I think, he's a guy to keep an eye on. They might extend him an offer. He was on campus over the weekend. And then those are all 2025 guys that I mentioned. The only 2026 guy that I'm aware of that was on campus was a guy by the name of Damod Lewis. He's a edge defensive line prospect out of Bellevue also. So there are at least, 8 or 9 Bellevue guys, I believe, that were on campus. Might have been a few less than that, but I think it was about 8 or 9. And Damod Lewis is the guy who could really be the one that earns the most accolades on the recruiting trail. His brother is Damian Lewis, an offensive lineman from, he played at LSU, maybe. It might have been Mississippi. I can't remember where it was. But wherever it was, he got drafted by the Seahawks, and he's playing for the Seahawks now. And he brought his two younger brothers with him. Damod is a 2026 guy, and the youngest brother, Diego Lewis, is a freshman. So those guys are both going to be at Bellevue playing quite a bit and getting a lot of looks from schools already. Damod Lewis is an absolute stud. He's the walk off the bus first guy. He's the one you want walking off and scaring the crap out of the opponent. He's about 6'3", 6'4", maybe a little more than that, but, and he was about 260 when I saw him last. and which was back in September. So I'm sure he could have got a lot bigger. But he's a guy to definitely keep in the back of your mind. Damaad, D-A-M-A-A-D, Lewis, is going to be a big-time guy in the 26 recruiting class. As far as out-of-state guys, the two that I was able to verify before Junior Day started were Narbonne linebacker Mark Ihenichor. By the way, I got his name pronounced to me by Mark. So it's Mark Ihenichor. And he was up for a visit. He's a four-star prospect. He's got a lot of offers, but he doesn't have the big-time offers yet. I think that's going to change here very soon, especially as he gets out and sees more schools. And then Mountain Point defensive back Ryland Dillard Allen out of Mountain Point High School in Arizona. He came up for a visit. That guy is definitely on Washington's board. I don't know if he's at the top of their recruiting board as far as cornerbacks are concerned. They have a lot of guys that they really like a lot, but he's one that's right up there. Then there's Desert Hills linebacker Chris Polu from Utah. And he visited the University of Washington as well. And then a tight end by the name of Baron Naon out of West Lynn, Oregon. That's the top, to my knowledge, West Lynn is the top program in the state of Oregon. Jesuit, Central Catholic, they always have really good programs. But West Lynn has won several titles over the last few years. And Baron is a guy that Washington really likes a lot. And it's pretty obvious because they worked really hard to get him to come up for an unofficial visit. There were also a handful of other Bellevue guys that I'm not mentioning, not because they're bad players or anything like that. I just am not sure how much Washington is really after them, or were they just tag along kind of guys. So still kind of working on that. But that's what I have so far from Junior Day. I'm not saying that a commitment is imminent or anything from any of these guys, but I think Washington did a really good job. I got some good feedback from these guys as they were leaving campus, and some of them have said they had the best time, and they're really excited about the program and where things are going. So definitely something to keep an eye on. And then last but not least, I just want to kind of update you guys on things that are going on. There's going to be a lot of 7-on-7 events, a lot of tournaments. I'm sorry, a lot of camps that I'm going to be attending. I don't know about 7-on-7, but definitely will be attending Washington or several of the Under Armour camp events. Probably one down in California, one in LA, and then one in Dallas. I'm not sure about the Oakland one yet. I'm looking at that one. And then Washington and Utah are two other ones that I'm looking at taking visits to. So, and I'll have, lists of guys and things like that for you guys. So do everything I can to keep you guys in the loop and also satiate your hunger for recruiting information. But right now I'm going to sign off. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a good rest of your Sunday. Expect Monday to be very busy. I think later today we're probably going to find out for sure who the new coaching staff is, and then Monday is probably when they'll be formally introduced. And then things are going to really pick up because Monday, Tuesday are the 2 days leading up to National Signing Day, which is on Wednesday, the 7th of February. Washington's going to sign a few guys that have already committed to them in this part of the cycle. They had, I think it was 16 or 17 guys sign in the 2024 class, but several of them have gotten out of commitments. One was Josh Lehrer, a safety. The other was Edge Noah Carter, a guy out of Arizona and out of Texas, so respectively. And so Washington had to, kind of make up for some of those losses. And I think they've done a lot to do that. They've addressed a lot of different things. And one thing that you'll hear from Jed Fish when you talk to him, and we've only gotten a very brief amount of time to talk to him, but he's quietly confident about where things stand with Washington, but also what he can do on the recruiting trail, wearing that big W on his shirt, on his purple shirt. So I think he feels really good that Washington is in a place where they can definitely care for kids and recruit guys. And I think this staff really gets it on the recruiting trail. They're going to be super, super aggressive. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of roller coasters. And Oahu Dog, I'm looking right at you. I know you love those. And I know there's some people who can't handle them. But just get ready, guys. I'm prepping you right now. There's going to be a lot of roller coasters because Washington is going to be very involved with some of these high-end guys that are going to be on NIL watch and all those different things. And Washington, I will say it for the umpteenth time. When it comes to money, Washington will never lose a recruit because of money. It doesn't mean that they'll just throw out millions of dollars to these kids. They're not doing that. But it's got to be that happy medium. They've got to find the guy who is a really good player but also doesn't prioritize money over everything else. And money obviously is going to play a factor, but they're not going to be willing to pay a guy, you know, seven figures to come and play for them out of high school, especially when that guy probably isn't starting. So, you know, I don't think you'll see that, but obviously a lot has changed on the recruiting landscape. And so whereas, you know, when a kid committed, you know, the chances of him decommitting and going somewhere else were very low. I would bet in the 5 to 10% range at most. And nowadays, I mean, you've got guys who sign their letters of intent and you still can't know if they're locked in, you know, if you have a coaching change. So anywho, we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. I promise to have my blog up as soon as possible tomorrow, and I'll have some more stories for you today, later today. So thanks for listening, and go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.